Today's share of the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah. We're beginning the very brand new third perek, which starts on Chav Tes Amid Beis, but today's Daf is Daf Lamed. So we begin in the middle of Chav Tes Amid Beis, and we begin Lulav HaGazel. Now, there are wonderful diagrams of this. You'll see some in the art scroll, but you have really great illustrations of the different types of psulim that we're going to be talking about with the Arba Minim, which is what this perek talks to a large extent about, that you'll find in the Pirush Chai, as well as in the Illustrated Gemara. Today, we're not going to mention specific diagrams, but you can look there for the start to describe various aspects of the Lula, but we're really going to get into it more in later shiur. So we begin the brand new third perek, Lulav HaGazel. If you have a Lulav that was stolen, we'll see why in the Gemara this is a problem. Or HaYavesh, if it's dried out, lulav that is dried out is also pasul. So both a lulav hagazel and a dried out lulav are pasul, and the Gemara will describe exactly why. Rashi tells us over here that a lulav is the kaf shel tvarim that we refer to in the pasuk. The whole pasuk is ulukachtem lochem bayom harishon. You'll take for yourselves. It's very important. Drasha ulukachtem lochem for yourself has to be yours bayom harishon on the first day. The mitzvah d'orais is only on the first day. In the Beis Hamikdash was all 7 days, and through at the Konitz Rabban and Exera from Yochanan and Zakkai, that we take lulav all 7 days, but only the first day is Daraisa. So you take the pre-Eitz Hador, that's going to refer to the Esrog, Kapos Tamarim, that's the lulav, Ve'anav Eitz Avos, Ve'arvinocho, that's the Adasim, and the Aravos, respectively. And then it says, Usmachtim Ufei Hashem, Lokechem Shivas Yom. Fine. So that's the pasuk that we're going to be spending a tremendous amount of time on in this parak discussing. So a stolen lulav or a dried out lulav is no good. If the lulav comes from an asherah tree, shal asherah, this is a certain tree that was worshipped as avodah zarah, v'shal ir nidachas, or from a city that worshipped avodah zarah, and all of their properties have to be destroyed, so pasul. So that is also no good. The Gemara will make a hekesh between the asherah and the ir nidachas to say that both of them essentially don't have a significant shear because they're both supposed to be destroyed. And therefore, if they don't have the shear because they're supposed to be destroyed, we have the famous principle, omei legazuz kigazuz domi, if something's waiting to be sheared, it's considered already sheared, so too over here. If you have a situation where the lulav is from an asherah or from an ir nidachas, it has to be destroyed, so therefore it doesn't have the shear because it's viewed already as if it's destroyed. And that's why they're possible. That's what the Gemara will tell us. Niktam rosho. This means if the top part of the lulav was cut off. We'll spend a little bit more time in the Gemara discussing exactly which parts we're referring to over here. There are a number of different shitos as what the top is, but for now we'll suffice to say that if you cut off the top, so then it is no good. Nifritzu olav. If you have a pirtza, so to say, you have a break, Rashi says, you cut off from the shedra. They're not all attached well. Ela yidei aguda, but you could attach them somehow by binding them, like a broom. Kichufyo shikorim ashkuba. So ashkuba in the laj is also known as ashkuma, which is a matata, which is a type of a broom that you sweep with. So the lulav is not properly bound together by itself, it's come apart, so then that is also possible, it's no good. However, if it's just nifridu olav, if the leaves are just separated from each other, but they're still attached all fully, and they can come back, so to say, together, then it is kosher. Ryudomer, however, in this situation, he says, yagdenu milamali, he says you have to go and tie it together, and that will make it kosher. And we'll discuss again all of these shitas in greater detail. Rashi brings down that Ryudomer says over here, im nifridu olav, it's talking about that they were spread out. You have to go and bind them, yagdim, shu olim im hashedra kishal lulav. So it looks like other lulav. Finally, the Mishnah tells us that sine har habarzel ksheros, those palm branches that come from har habarzel, there's a certain type of lulav that comes from har habarzel, is also considered kosher. That is considered a valid lulav. And again, the Gemara will discuss all of this in greater detail. Then the Mishnah concludes and says that the lulav has a certain shear. Lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tfachim, kidei l'naneya bo kosher. If you have a lulav that has three tefachim, and then kidei laneh means you have to hold it on an additional tefach to be able to shake the lulav, because the lulav has the nanuim, has the shakings that you have to do with it. And when you shake the lulav, it's also talking about shaking the adasim and the aravos that are bound together with the lulav. The esrog, of course, is held with the other hand, and you hold them together, and you shake all of them together, but the three minim other than the esrog are bound together. So you have to have enough to hold on to the lulav at the bottom, one tefach, and then it has to be three tefachim tall above that. So it seems to say that it's only shlosha tefachim, but it really is four tefachim, because you need also kidei l'naneya, and that is the minimal shear l'chatchila for a lulav. It can be longer, it cannot be shorter. Gemara starts off and says, ka pasik v'tani, from the Mishnah, the absolutely staying over here, that a lulav ha'gozul ha'yovish is pasul, so it therefore specifically states, no distinction between the first day and the last day. It just says across the board that a lulav that is stolen or dried out is no good. So lo shnob yom tov rishon, lo shnob yom tov sheni. Doesn't seem to imply any difference between the first day of yontov. Now here, yontov sheni doesn't mean yontov sheni shogolios. Here it means just the other days of Sukkot, which, as I said, are not mechuyavim on a derais level outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Again, the basic din in the Beis Hamikdash is that only the in the Beis Hamikdash, all 7 days are an obligation to go bring a lulav and esrog to take the arba minim. But outside the Beis Hamikdash, the din d'orais is only on the first day. When the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai came along and made a takana, so zeichel mikdash, that we should take lulav and esrog the other 6 days, again in esrog, 7 days we're talking about. So you take it the other days as well, midir abanan. That's what they're referring to over here, b'yom tov sheni, on the second day, the third day, the fourth day. It doesn't mean yom tov sheni shogolios. So it doesn't seem to make any distinction in our Mishnah between the first days and the other days. Now, why should that be? Bishlomi Yavid, I can understand why dried out is no good even midra banon, because the pasuk tells us that you're supposed to take the kachal mayav rishon priets hadar, that the lulav and esrog, all the dalit minim have to be hadar, they have to be beautiful. So therefore, zek keliv yanvei, you're supposed to beautify all the mitzvos, but inan, you need to have this concept of hadar the leka, and you don't have it if it's dried out. So it shouldn't make a difference whether it's the rice or the rabban. However, elo gozel, what's the problem with gozel? The problem with gozel, again, we're not suggesting that it's permissible to steal. As I mentioned many times, when the Gemara tells us dinam about stealing, who's the owner after something is stolen, it doesn't in any way, certainly not lechatchila, but not even b'diavad, say that this is acceptable behavior. This is a terrible, terrible sin if you steal something. But that's not our discussion point right now. Our discussion point is only, is this in fact going to be considered yours from a halachic point of view? So if somebody steals a lulav, so on the first day, you're required to have your own lulav. And here, in this situation, when it's stolen, it's not yours. So elo gozel, bishlam yom tov rishon, because the pasuk says, l'kachtem lochem, d'chsiv lochem, means mishal lochem. It must be your lulav. And since if it's stolen, it's not your lulav, that's why you're not yosei on the first day. But that mitzvah of lochem is not for the other days. Halacha l'maisa, if somebody doesn't have their own lulav, so they can borrow a friend's lulav, even without being a matona amanas lahasir, like we would do on the first day, but just say, listen, I'm borrowing your lulav. And he says, yes, but it's mine, I'm not giving it to you. So on the second day, third day, etc., you can be yotzi that way. So you don't need lochem on the other days other than the first day. So elo biyom tosheni, on the second day of yontif, third day of yontif, fourth day of yontif, ucholamoy, am I low? Why is it not going to be kosher with a stolen lulav? Again, you cannot steal. You shouldn't steal. Never steal. But once you have stolen something, you now want to use this for the performance of the mitzvah, so why wouldn't it be good on the second through last days of Sukkot? Because it is in fact not a din that you need lochem. So where it says, Amar Yochai Mishun Rishon Yochai, Rav Yochai said, Nei Rishon Yochai, and we turn to Lamed Omen Aleph. The reason isn't because of Lachem. The reason is Mishum, the Havali Mitzvah Bo Be'Aveira. And the Mitzvah Bo Be'Aveira is no good. Therefore, since you're doing this mitzvah of shaking the Lulav and Esrog, taking the Dalet Minim, but you're doing it via an Aveira because you stole something, so therefore it's not a din of Lachem. Sheula, borrowed, would be a din of Lachem. You can't use a borrowed Lulav on day one, but you can use a borrowed Lulav on day two, three, four, etc. But a stolen Lulav, you can't use even on day two, three, four, etc., because it's a mitzvah bo be'aveira, and a mitzvah bo be'aveira is no good. And when do we know this? Shenemar, the pasuk says, Baveisim gozul, v'yesa piseach, v'yesa chola. Halachi tells us, does really HaKadosh Baruch Hu want you to bring these types of korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That you should bring a stolen one, a gozel one, a pisach is an animal that is lame, or a chol, an animal that is sick? That's the type of carbon you want to bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Should Hashem take such a carbon from you? Now the pasuk has a hekesh over here. It says gozel, pisach, and chol are all the same. So therefore, gozel is dumi the pisach. So a stolen animal is equivalent for this din to a lame animal. And just like a mapiseach, a lame animal, lesle takanto, so to a lame animal, it's talking about a mum that is a permanent mum, a mum kavua, not a mum over. So too, afgazel, it's talking about something lesle takanto. Once you stole it, there's no way to do a takana on it. And therefore, lo shnol fne yeyush, lo shnol yachayish. It doesn't make a difference whether the owner has given up hope of ever getting it back, and therefore, halachically, it technically belongs to you, or whether the owner hasn't given up hope of getting it back. He's not been misyayish. It has nothing to do with yayish. It has to do with the fact that it's a mitzvah bo be'aveira. Now, bishlom lefnei yayish, before yayish, we understand, because adam kiyakrib mikem amar rachmana v'lav didehu. We can understand why, if he hasn't given up yayish, so it's not yours, and you have to bring a carbon from your own things. So you can't go bring your next door neighbor's animal and say, bring that as a carbon. So that's not yours. But even elo liachay yayish, hokani bi yayish, after the owner has given up hope of it, and there's a shinu rishus, as well as Yeush, it's now in your possession, and he's given up hope. So then technically, you own it. Again, you're not allowed to do that. And it's not really something that we should be in any way saying is a good thing. But bottom line is, it now belongs to you. So then how come you can't be yotze with it? El olav, mishum dehavale mitzvah bo bi'aveira. And the mitzvah bo bi'aveira is no good. Oh, so this is the raya that the lulav hagazul can't be brought, can't be taken to be yotze the mitzvah even on the other days. It has nothing to do with lochem. It has to do with the fact that it's a mitzvah bo bi'aveira. Remember Yochai said another teaching in the name of Shimon Yochai. He said as follows. Ma'idusim, what does the pasuk mean when he says, Ki ani Hashem ohev mishpat sonei gozel bi'ola? What does the pasuk mean in Yeshaya where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that I am a God who loves justice, ohev mishpat, and I hate stealing, and I don't want you to bring me an ola that is stolen? So, what exactly does this pasuk mean? So, Moshe Lemelech Boss of Adam, Shaya Ovi Al Beis Hamechas. Imagine an earthly king that's going by the easy pass, and he's going to the tax collectors, and he has to go pay a toll, right? So, he tells his servants, Armali Avadav, New Mechas Lemosim. Yep, go pay the toll. I want you to go pay the toll. But the servants say, who's the toll going to? It's going to you. Armali Avadav, New Mechas Lemosim. And the Avadav tell him back, Armalo, but look, call Mechas Kulish Lechai. It's like you're taking it out of the right pocket and putting it in your left pocket. You're paying the tax collector, and the tax collector gives you all the money. So what's the purpose of you paying the toll? You should just go right through and not have to pay any toll. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I'm teaching everybody a lesson. This Melech Boss of Adam is teaching everybody a lesson. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, therefore, this is the lesson I want to teach you. Amalahem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Jewish people, look at this marshal. The king is telling his tax collectors, he's telling his servants, Amalahem, Mimani Yimudu Kol Vidrachim. Everybody who sees me pay the taxes will realize that, yeah, this is serious stuff. You better pay your taxes and not do something that doesn't pay the taxes. And therefore, don't go and exempt yourself. Don't go and try to, do shenanigans and not pay the tax collector. So therefore, you got to pay the meches, you got to pay the tax, because you see the king paying the tax. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu says over here, Av HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omar, Ani Hashem, I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ohev Mishpat, Sonei Gozel Bi'Ola. I don't want you to go and steal. Bring me a carbon basically me stealing. I don't do that, and I don't want you to do that. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns everything, so the Ola is his. No, he says, this is not the right way. And Mimeni Yilmadu Banai, Yavrichu Atzmano Gozel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us by example that just like I don't steal and don't want stolen stuff, you shouldn't steal for yourselves. Now, this was the statement that Rav Yochanan made in the name of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and Itmanami, we have the Amorayim, Amar Rav Ami, saying the same thing. Yavesh Pasul, Mipnei Shein Hadar. A dried out lulav and esrog can't be used all of the days because it's not hadar. It's not beautiful, and it's supposed to be hadar. Zeh keli b'yanveyu. The person has to go make all the mitzvahs beautiful. Hisnoi b'fanei the mitzvahs. So, why is Gazul no good? Gazul mishum, da'avale mitzvah bo b'yaveri. Mitzvah bo b'yaveri is no good. Okay. Now, that is the opinion we had of Rav Yochanan and the name of Shimon Yochai, and that is the opinion now of Rav Ami, but that is not the opinion of Rav Yitzchok. Upliga, the Rabbi Yitzchok. Rav Yitzchok disagrees. Rav Yitzchok goes on the original assumption that we had that it's only based upon Lochem. And therefore, Rav Yitzchok says, no, the Amr Rav Yitzchok by Nachmeni Amr Shmuel, Rav Yitzchok by Nachmeni says the name of Shmuel, that which we said, Elulav HaGozel is no good, Loshanu Ela B'Yom Tov HaRishon, that's only on the first day. Again, it doesn't mean versus Yom Tov Shemesh HaGalus. It's talking about Yom Tov on the first day of Sukkot. That's when you need lakachtem lochem. It has to be for yourself. You have to own it. Mishal lochem. Avu b'yontiv sheni. But on the rest of the days of the yontiv, ha'olamoid, mitosh yotze b'shal. Just like you can be yotze with a shal, because you don't need lakachtem lochem, you can technically be yotze nami b'gazul. You can be yotze with a stolen one. Again, please don't do that. But if you do have a stolen lulav and etzrog, so you could actually be yotze the mitzvah with that. Although HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be happy. Now the Gemara continues and says, Moser Rav Nachman Yitzchok. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says the following shaila. Our Mishnah said, Lulav HaGozel HaYavish Pasul. Implication being, Ha, Shaul is kosher. The fact that the Mishnah didn't say anything about Shaul, but it specifically mentioned Gozel is no good, the implication is that a borrowed Lulav is good. Now, certainly can't be talking about the first day. Ilema b'yom tov rishon. If you're talking about the first day, we all know the drasha. Lekachtem lochem. Hoksiv lochem misha lochem. It has to be taken from yourself. By lavi dehu. And this you don't own. And therefore, everybody agrees it's no good on the first day. Gozel or shol. But our Mishnah didn't mention anything about shol. It only said the rule of a gozel. El la b'yom tov sheni. Isn't it talking about the rest of the days of Yantiv? And obviously the reason is mitzvah bo b'yaveira. Uktani gozel is pasul. It says a gozel is pasul. So therefore, it mustn't it be that it's talking about the Mitzvah Bobi Aveira is the reason. Kash on Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak, you're wrong. It's not because of Lekachem Lochem. Clearly, our Mishnah seems to support that it's a mitzvah. Bobi Aveir is the reasoning. So the Gemara says, no. Now, the Girsa that we have is Rava Omar, but the more correct Girsa is either Omar Rava, and others have the Girsa Omar Ravashi. Whoever it was, he's responding to this. If it was Rava Omar, so then it would be a new statement. When it says Omar Rava, then it's a continuation of the previous statement. So Rava or Ravashi is responding to this challenge against Rabbi Yitzchak with saying, no, it's not a Raya. Lo'olam Yom Tov Rishon. Our Mishnah could in fact be talking about Yom Tov Rishon, and not talking about the rest of it. That's the way Rabbi Yitzchak would learn it. Lomi Boy Kamar. And the Chiddush is by Gozel is Lomi Boy Kamar. Lomi Boy Shol. You don't have to tell me Shol, because Shol is obviously not good because it's the Lav Didehu, because you need Lekatim Lochem. So I might have thought that it's only a Shol that's no good, but Gozel is good. Abo Gozel, Amos Stam Gizel Yeirish Balmu. You might argue that after something is stolen, most of the time the owners give up hope of getting it back. Somebody breaks into your house and steals something from you, well, you figure you're never going to get that item back. You file a police report, and that's pretty much it. So therefore, in that situation, Amostam Gizel Yerush Balamu and Gozel would be good. Uchididei Dami. In fact, the stolen person, the person who stole it, the robber, he is now halachically acquired it. Again, not allowed, but he halachically owns it. So I might have thought, certainly, that Shaul is no good, but Gozel is in fact good, surprisingly, because borrowed is certainly borrowed. And unless it's a matana, amanas lahachzir, if it's really just borrowed, then you can't be honest because of chachm lochem. But I might have thought that Gozel is good because technically, didehu. So therefore, kamash v'lom, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah Rava says, and it's a style called lomi boy kamar. I don't have to tell you shol, that's clearly no good, but I do have to tell you gozel, because you might have thought gozel is good, because kididehu, kamash v'lom, that it's not. Amlu Ravuna lahanu avankere. Ravuna told these middlemen, avankere, Rashi tells us, are tagere called dover. These are the middlemen. These are the people that purchase from the original producers of an item, and then they go sell it to the storekeepers. So they're like the middlemen. So these avankere were selling the dalad minin. So Ravuna told these avankere, listen, ki zavintu asa, the ovdei kochavim, when you go and purchase these hadasim from the ovdei kochavim, so lo tigzizu atun, you don't be the ones to go cut them off the trees, right? The guy is selling you the hadasim, and he says, here, go take what you want. It's $5 a hadasim. Go cut as much as you need, $5 per the three hadasim. So he says, don't cut them yourself. Lo tigzu atun, but let the goyim cut them. Elo ligzuha inhu. Let the goyim go cut the hadasim, and then they will hand you the cut hadasim, the yavuluchu, and this way there won't be a problem. What's the problem? My time of what would be the problem if you cut them yourselves? So stam ovdei kochavim gazlone arosaninu, because fortunately in those times, the goyim just stole land. They were in power, and they could do whatever they want, and they just took people's land. So they took over a property, and now that property is stolen property. Now, you can't really steal karka, so it really belongs to the original baal. If you were to go cut it off, then you would be the ones who would be stealing. But when they cut it off, so now it's no longer connected to the ground, they're the ones that are doing the stealing, and now you're purchasing it from them, so therefore it's going to be a shinui rishus, and therefore it is not considered that you're stealing it, they stole it, and you're purchasing it from them. And we turn to Lamed Omid Beis, and the problem, as I just said, is if you were to cut it off, so you the land isn't stolen. The karka ain't an exelis. Since land can't be stolen, as Rashi is called, ain't no kinuya legasla. When you steal land, obviously you can physically steal it, but you can't halachically steal it because there is no such thing as karka having yeyush. Because ain't no kinuya legasla, bishum yeyush de la olam becheskas ba'alehi. He's always hopeful that he'll get that land back. He knows where it is. It's right over there. That piece of property is mine. So there's no concept of yeyush by karka, according to this understanding. Karka ain't an exelus. And therefore, hilkach, the gzua inu, let the goyim who stole this land go and cut off these hadasim. And this way, kihechi, they'll have you yeyush ba'olim, biadayu, did who? So this way, the branches, they don't have any hope of ever getting back. So now, there's yeyush in the hands of the original balim, while the hadasim are in the possession of these goyim. And then, when you buy it from the goyim, the shinui rishus biadayu. Now the shinui rishus comes, and therefore, halachically, and even lechatchila in this situation, you can use these hadasim. There is no problem. It's not a problem of you being a fence. There's no way that the owners are going to get back those hadasim that they've given up a hope on, and they're only going to go to waste. So therefore, when you purchase them, you're not doing anything wrong. And if there would be a problem of a fence, the Gemara tells us elsewhere that when you plug up the holes of the mice, so then the mice stop stealing. In other words, if you remove the fence, the people that go purchase these items, then there's no incentive for the people to steal. So again, we're not suggesting that you should be a fence ever, that you should go purchase this stolen property. That's wrong. But here in this situation, there is no problem because the owners will never get these branches back. They're going to waste. And therefore, when you purchase them, they're already as yeyush before then. And now you're buying them when they're already, quote, able to be bought. And therefore, b'shinui rishus b'yadaychu, now it is perfectly acceptable l'chatchila. It's not a mitzvah bo be'aveira to use such hadasim. Again, from a hashkafic point of view, we should try and do everything possible not to allow the ovdei kochavim or anybody to go steal land and to benefit from it. But here we're not talking about that. We're talking about halachically, can you go and use these l'chatchila? There is no problem in using such hadasim. More questions, he says, sov, kigazuzu avankri. What would happen if the avankri cut it off? So the avankri would cut it off, there would be yeyush, and then they sell it to the person who buys it from them. So then, lehave yeyush balam biyadayu. So the yeyush took place now, while it was in the avankri's hands, v'shinu yerushus biyadim. And then when they sell it to the people that are buying the yadasim, so then that's when you have the shinu rishus. So it's perfectly good. For the people that are buying it, what's the problem? How is this any different? Where it says, you're right, for the people buying it, it's no different. But for the avankari, if they want to be yotze, lo tzricha boshana the avankari gufayu, when the avankari want to be yotze the mitzvah, so they won't be able to do it unless they let the goyim cut it off. But if they cut it off, so then they won't be able to, because it won't be the shinu rishus at that point in time, because they already own it. So it's only when they sell it to somebody else that there's a shinu rishus. So where it says, v'liknu b'shinu maisa. Wait a second, why does that have to be a shinu rishus? You likewise can usually acquire something halachically by doing a maisa to it. It doesn't have to be a shinu rishus. It can be just a maisa to it that would be acceptable. What's the maisa? They'll do the igud. They'll bind them together. The hoshanas over here isn't talking about just the three hoshanas. It's talking about the lulav, the hadasim, and the arava, that you bind them together. So therefore, the binding it together, that should be acceptable. Shumar gives two potential terutzim. The first one is kosav alulav enot zorach hagid. If you hold that you don't need the binding, so then the binding is not halachically going to be considered significant, and therefore that's not considered a shinui maisa of significance. Fine, that's teretz number one. Vim tim tzilomar, and even if you want to suggest that lulav zorach hagid, no, even according to Man Yomim, it says that you must have them bound together, and if you don't have them bound together, it's not something that you can be yotzi the mitzvah. So therefore, the binding is essential, and therefore it would be a valid shinui maisa, but this is a shinui hachoze libriyasuhu. B'shinui hachoze libriyasuhu, lo shmei shinui. This is not a permanent shinui. When you go and take the wheat and you make it into bread, you can't undo that bread and make it back into wheat. So that would be a shinui maisa. However, this is a shinui, you're bound it. Well, guess what? You can unbind it. You tie it together with the lulav fronds, so then you go and untie it. You slip off the binder. And therefore, this is a shinui that allows things to go back to the way that they were. And a shinui that allows things to go back to the exact way that they were is not considered a valid shinui. Gemara still says, "Liknuhu b'shinu yashem." Let it go and be a shinu yashem, because originally the meyakara havalei asa, when it was on the trees, it was called an asa. The hashta now, when we turn to lamed aleph omud aleph, hoshana, it's called now a hoshana. As Rashi says, hoshana karule, which is al shem she regilin laogdon lahoshana b'chag. It's called to praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so it's called hoshana. So, isn't there a shinu yashem? And the shinu yashem normally is considered adequate. So Gemara says, no. Because a Hoshana is what it's called even when it's on the tree. They're called an Asa, but they're also called Hoshana. So there's no Shinui Shem. And according to the opinion that says that a Shinui Maisa that returns to its original can be returned is not considered a Shinui. So therefore, it's exactly the same as it was, and you won't have any sort of a Shinui. And according to the other opinion, it requires Eged. And if it requires Eged, so then you have to do this Maisa with Eged. So then that would have been a Shinui. But according to Man Yomim, it says, don't do a Maisa of Eged. It's not required. So then you are stuck, and that's why the avankari should go and let the goyim go and cut it off. With this, we conclude today's shiur.